So as we get ever closer to this Holy Week next week and the celebration of the Paschal mysteries, the central mysteries of our faith, of our life, the readings get ever more rich and rich. There's so much contained in these readings today. The three readings plus the psalm, these four dives into the sacred scripture. It highlights so much of who we are as disciples of Jesus Christ and this journey of salvation that the people of God have been on for centuries, for millennia. A responsorial psalm was probably written 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. That second reading about 500 years before the birth of Jesus. Both with this deep understanding of this crying out to the Lord and the Lord hearing that and responding. And this is what we've been having these last 3 weeks in the gospel passages. That we know, hopefully, that the season of Lent initially and primarily are for those who are becoming Catholic. Those men and women who have decided that they want to enter into the church, so they're in this process called RCIA. And we do ours at 9 o'clock, and so each Sunday they're here. And then after the homily, they go and they reflect more on the Word of God in preparation for baptism and confirmation and the Holy Eucharist. And so these last 3 weeks, with 2 weeks ago, with the woman at the well, and then last week, the man born blind, and today, the man dead brought back to life, all give us a glimpse into the mysteries of our faith, the sacramental mysteries of our faith. That the woman who had 5 husbands and was with a man who at the time wasn't her husband, going to the well in the middle of the day because she was thirsty, carrying her bucket with her, hoping to quench her thirst just for one more day. Then to encounter the one who calls himself, I am the living water, with the promise that if you drink of me, you will never be thirsty again. And then she returns a changed woman because of that encounter with Jesus Christ, the living water. Then the man born blind, born blind, that Jesus opened his eyes, that in sin, in separation from Jesus Christ, the darkness of this world overcomes us. And like a blind man, we stumble around looking for direction, purpose, and meaning. But Jesus says, if you walk in the light of my life, you will never be in darkness again. And then the death of Jesus' friend, the death at which Jesus wept, the death that in a natural way it seemed like he could have prevented it. The message came to him and said, your friend is ill. And he waited until he had been in a tomb for 4 days. So that the power and the glory of God could be manifest to them and to us as to what true life really is. And that how we are without Jesus, dead in the tomb, behind the stone, with the stench of death all around us. These readings and these passages present to us the bleakness, the hopelessness of life without Jesus. And this is their intent. As we travel this journey with Jesus in the desert for the season of Lent, and we gradually strip away the things that we have collected in our lives that are not of God, that take us away from God, we realize just how empty this world really is, and how the false promises really cannot follow through. But like the woman at the well, we just keep going back again and again, hoping that the next time it would work, as we stumble around in the darkness of our sin without the light of Christ. And as we sit in silence, we realize that oftentimes our choices bring us to the darkness of the tomb. But in each of these weeks, Christ comes. Christ is the one who moves. Christ goes to the woman, Christ goes to the man, and Christ goes to the tomb of Lazarus. This is what gives us hope. And this is what allows those who are not Catholic to become Catholic, because God works first. God moves in their hearts. And he moves in our hearts first as well. As the Catechism teaches, the thirst that we have for him is in response to his thirst for us. He went to the home and said, "Where have you laid him?" He was greatly perturbed. He was moved in the deepest part of his being at the effect of sin and death in the lives of his friends. And he was mad. He was greatly disturbed, because he saw the effect of sin in their lives. And we can be confident he feels the same way about us each time we turn to one of those wells of water that will never satisfy. Each time that we are okay with walking around with the blurry vision of just a little bit of sin in our life, he's perturbed. And he wants to rescue us. He said, "Where have you laid him?" He wanted to know where he was. He wanted to encounter this with his friends. Much like in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit and they went to hide himself, the response of the Father was, "Where are you? You're supposed to be here with me, and you're not here. Where are you?" And every time we wander away with our sin, he says the same thing. "Where are you? Where have you been laid? Where are you? I want you here with me." And this is why, with this creative word, he can call Lazarus out of the tomb. When we speak, we simply describe the things that are happening. When God speaks, he makes it happen. Lazarus, come out, bringing him by the power of his word from death to life. The power of the word of Jesus moves things, changes things, recreates things. The word of Jesus in the confessional, when the priest says, "I absolve you from your sins," brings you from death to life. The word of the priest, when he consecrates the body and blood, he makes things happen. New life is brought to us. This creative word of God on display that brings us from the darkness into life. And this is what St. Paul is reminding us in that second reading about the two worlds, the two choices that we have, to live according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. And when the flesh is death, you're not a member of God, there's no hope, there's no life. But if you live in the Spirit, the very same Spirit that brought Jesus from the tomb will bring us from the tomb as well. And it's not just the tomb at the end of our life, because Jesus promises that he's come to bring us life and life to the full, and he wants our joy to be complete today. And this is the promise that we have as disciples of Jesus Christ, that we don't have to wait until someday to enjoy the fullness of the life of Jesus Christ. It's available for us today. Do we believe this? That's the question that Jesus asked his friend Martha in the gospel. Do you believe? How do we answer that question? In just a few moments, we're going to say what we believe. But if we rewind our life a couple of hours or a couple of days and we just review the video footage of our lives, do we believe in the truth, in the promise, in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ? Or do we dabble in those wells that will never satisfy? Do we choose to put on the blinders of mediocrity? Or have we fully surrendered our life to Jesus Christ? Because none of us today are dead like Lazarus was. But are any of us hiding behind the shame of past sin, of regret? Have we rolled that stone in front of our lives, in front of our hearts, and are afraid that there may be a stench so we won't come out? Where is that death in our life today. Maybe it's a failed marriage. Maybe you've given up on your spouse, or your spouse has given up on you. Maybe you're stuck in addiction, whether alcohol or drugs or the dark side of the internet. And you've given yourself over to sexual excess and impurity. Maybe you're drinking the Kool-Aid of the world, and are campaigning against natural law, because this is the way to be progressive and to be tolerant. Maybe your children have drifted from the faith or drifted from the home. Maybe you've never encountered Jesus, and you feel like you're trapped in a tomb of disbelief. Today, Jesus says, come out. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's why we stand when the gospel is proclaimed, because it's a real life event. So as Jesus called out to Lazarus, he calls out to each one of us, come out. Come out of darkness, come out of sin, and live in the light and the peace and the hope of Jesus Christ. And he's the only one who can rescue us. He's the only one who can bring us to eternal life. He's the only one who can rescue us. Oh, my people, I will open your graves and call you forth and bring you to new life, Ezekiel said in the first reading. Oh, my people, I will put my spirit in you. This is the promise from the Old Testament that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And each time we come to the sacraments, it's renewed in our lives again and again. Oh, my people, I will open your graves. I will put my spirit within you, and I will bring you to new life. Pope Benedict says that the one who has hope lives differently. If we hear these scriptures today and we walk in the truth that these scriptures present to us, then we should be men and women of hope, and we should live differently. Our lives should be radically different than what we see on the world as we scroll through our phones. We should be different because we have the hope of Jesus Christ. And this is a promise that God gave to Ezekiel. It's a promise he renews to us each day. Ezekiel 37:14, the last line of today's first reading. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. What more proof do we need? What more can we ask? That God the Father, who created all things, says, I have promised, and I will do it. So do you believe? Do you believe in the power and that promise of eternal life found only in Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus and to his church to receive that life through her sacraments? This is the invitation, the opportunity for you today to hear this question, do you believe? And like Martha, yes, Lord, I have come to believe you are the resurrection and the life.